wonderful attendance this morning, and it seems like there was so much joy in the air before services began, and we are so glad, if you're visiting with us, that you're here, and we're glad that each member is here, too. Before I begin and share with you an important message, in fact, this morning I want you to know I have a message that will make every one of you rich. You're so blessed to be here this morning because you're going to get to hear that message, and you can be rich when you leave here and go out and start living your life this week. Before I begin, I need to say a few disclaimers and talk a little bit about the next month. We're going to be beginning a series called Taking God at His Word. This is a series that involves stewardship. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be studying about God and our money and about God and our other resources and talents we have and how we are to be responsible for them. Let me say that anytime we begin to talk about money, we get a little bit uncomfortable. And we get a little bit uneasy. And then, especially in the church, maybe we get to think, well, they're just trying to guilt trip us into accomplishing their goals as a church. And so maybe you think, well, I knew it was coming. As soon as we started that building project, I knew soon Josh would start preaching on money. Or the budget got raised a little bit this year. Well, we're going to have to start talking about money, it looks like. Let me share with you that we're not doing this, and I'm not preaching these series of lessons because we're building a building, or because of our budget, or because of my salary, or Ryan's salary, or anything like that. I'm preaching on these things because they are central to our faith. In fact, much of the giving and things we'll talk about isn't just our local church giving. That's a big part of it. But I'm going to be talking about our overall stewardship of money and the kind of heart God wants to develop within us. I want to share with you a little bit about that. First of all, I want you to know that this is something that we do throughout regularly. And if you're new to us at Seven Oaks, then I really believe you're going to be blessed by these studies. Back in August of 2004, we studied Take God at His Word. And we bought books, and I'm going to share with you how, if you want a copy of the book, we want to buy you one at this time. And then in 2010, we also studied a book called Rich Toward God. This year, we made the decision, the elders did, to not purchase books for everyone because it is basically the same information in the books. And we felt like that it would not be necessary. But we know that many of you may not have a book, and some of you don't want a book. So we said, we're not going to buy it for everybody because many people may not want one at all. But if you would like a book, the church will willingly purchase one for you. And I'll show you a picture of that here in a moment. And there's a sign-up sheet over here. And we'll sign that up today and we'll get the books ordered. And the book is only 70-something pages. It's a short book that talks about stewardship. But I'm going to be talking about some of the things in the book, but I'm going to be expanding that, talking about some other things as well. And then in 2010, we did Rich Toward God. There's been various sermons throughout. So I think this is an important thing. Now, here's the thing. We're not doing this as well because we think we're not a good giving congregation. This church amazes me in its stewardship and its giving. Do I think we are arrived? Do I think we have arrived that we don't need to excel further in that area? No. Do I think that many of us can do better and that all of us need to re-examine our stewardship? Yes. But I do think that we have done incredible things and are doing incredible things with our stewardship. And so we begin this series, but let me say on that topic as well, that I believe we do so good and have done well because we have learned the joy of giving. And we have understood the biblical teachings on it. And so we want to continue talking about this. There's the book. Sign up. You can get a free copy of it. And we want you to read it. Here's the schedule. And today we're going to be talking about being rich. Next week we're going to talk about godly giving and how God wants to do something in our heart and why God asks us to give. And we're going to talk about the various reasons why we should give and motives for giving. And we're going to shoot for the highest motives in giving. March the 2nd, we'll talk about the basic fundamental lesson of all this that we need to talk about and get in the text and think about how much should I give. We're going to talk about the blessing of tithing. And then on March the 9th, we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about our homes and our family stewardship. And we're going to think about hiring a new manager and stewardship principles for our home. This morning, though, now we get to what I promised you, being rich. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything. Now, most of us, when we read this passage, even when we think about the word rich, we can easily dismiss it because we're not rich. We may think about other people in our family, at work, people in our neighborhood, or either people in this congregation. We say, well, they're the rich ones. And so we maybe dismiss it. But think about who Paul was writing to. Paul was writing to people who, if any of them had our type of life, would be viewed as rich. In fact, if you make over $50,000 in family income, you're in the top 4% of the world's rich. The problem is we don't feel rich. I bet no one here feels rich. Now, you might say, I feel rich in the blessings I have in my family or things like that, but most of us may have one time a month when we feel a little bit rich when we get our paycheck, or one time a week when we feel a little bit rich when we get our paycheck, but that goes away real suddenly when we get all those bills in the mail the next day, right? And that's the problem, I think, is that we don't ever feel rich. And yet, what I want us to know is that the Bible is telling us that we need to seriously consider what it means to be rich, and to think about how we really are rich in God's standards. And so, if you will go with me, we're going to think about being rich and what it means to be rich. And if you go on through this passage, the Bible says here, God will richly provide us with everything to enjoy, and we are to do good and to, notice this passage, be rich. So even though we may not feel it, we can be rich. Even though we may not be defined by the world as rich monetarily, the Bible says you can be rich. And how can we be rich? We'll read the text. We can be rich in good works and be generous and ready to share. And you're going to store up for yourself a treasure, which is a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of what is truly life. See, this series is about really having the life that God wants us to have. It's not about having a focus upon the world and trying to store up the world's good. This series is about having the kind of life God wants us to have. It's about really being rich and not trusting in the uncertainty of riches, but rather trusting in God and having the heart God wants us to have. Now go with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, the text is going to be on the screen, but you can also open up in your Bibles. And it begins this passage talking about the work of John the Baptist. And John was a real character, and he comes and he is going to be preaching a strong message. And I want you to notice his message. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So he's baptizing people into following God. And their sins are being washed away. They're being saved. And as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is John's job, is to prepare people for the coming of the Lord and for salvation. Continuing on the next few verses, he said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, we might say in our language, you snakes in the grass, you deceitful people, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So these are people that they're now wanting to serve God. They're being baptized, they're having their sins washed away. And he says to them, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. You're changing your life. You're changing your heart. But now your life has to reflect the inward change that has come about in your heart. You see, there is a problem that the world often has. The world wants to focus on their vertical relationship and neglect that affects our
horizontal relationship with our fellow men. And so what this passage is saying and what John is saying is, you're getting right with God, but you also need to start living right with your fellow man. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So John is telling them, here's what you need to do to get ready for what God's doing. I'm preparing the way. Jesus is coming. He's going to bring in the kingdom of God. John is preaching the kingdom is at hand, the reign of God within your heart, within your life. What do you need to do? These people are being saved. They're told to repent, to live a different life. Notice three guilty groups are going to then ask, what should they do? How do we live differently? How do we repent? Now, John's going to tell them the standard answer, right? Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Come to church three times a week. And don't say bad words. Be honest and good. Now, those are good answers. And obviously, I'm not trying to make fun of those answers. Those are things we need to be doing. Praying and reading your Bible and things like that. But that's not what John says. John says to these three groups, three different things about what it means to be preparing their heart and living a life keeping with repentance. And these groups are feeling bad, and so to the crowds, he's going to say something to the tax collectors and to the soldiers. And each of these involves the idea of being rich. Notice to the first group, the crowds ask him, well, what should we do? The multitudes, the people who weren't the tax collectors and the soldiers. And he says to them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. John says, here's what you need to do. If you want to be preparing your heart for the coming of the kingdom, for the coming of the Messiah, for Jesus to live in your life, when you look at your life and you look at those around your life, all the people you have influence with, your friends, your family, the people you come in contact with. Look at what you have. And when you see someone in need, voluntarily share it with others. This is the lesson that we teach our kids. If you parents get the literature from our kids and they bring out a Bible class, and it seems like one out of every five lessons is on the topic of what? Sharing. Why do they teach it so much? Because those kids are struggling to get the message, right? They still don't want to share that toy. They want to gather up the toy and say, these are my toys. I don't want to share it with someone else. Jesus says, or John says, the basic message is share. Share. Now, in our context, that may not mean as much because most of us have closets full of clothes. But notice what he says in their context. If you find yourself having two tunics, that was the inner garment that they wore. They would put the robes and other things on top of that, but that was the basic under robe garment that was there, that was your daily garment you wore. If you had two of those, just two, and you meet someone that doesn't have any, give him your one. So now you both each have one. Now in our context, we think about food, and we think about how we just go to the restaurants, or we go to the grocery store and we get food. But in their context, they had to basically grow it, catch it, kill it. They had to work hard for food. When Jesus talks about your daily bread, he's talking about often the time that you get to eat bread daily. In other words, you may not have three square meals a day. You get your daily bread. He says, if you've got an abundance of food, don't save it. Don't store it up. But share it. And the idea here is willingly share it. Share with those who have need. If you want to be rich, share with others. And then to the tax collectors who came to be baptized, they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? How do we live right? Now, tax collectors were in some ways the low lives of the first century, weren't they? The tax collectors were the ones who were hated because they worked for Rome and they skimmed a lot off the top and they extorted and they made their living and they made a lot of money by charging high tariffs, charging high taxes, and they would extort others to get money. So they say, John, we want to change. We want to do. What do we need to do? Notice what John says. Very simply. Collect no more than you are authorized to do. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Yeah, but John, you don't understand. This is how I make my money. This is why I am a tax collector. Because, in fact, this is what they expect. If I just collect what's authorized, people know that that's what I do. This is the right thing to do for me to get a little more because that's my job. What's John saying? You collect no more than you're authorized to do. What's he saying? He's saying be honest and just. Do what is just, not what you can justify. You know, when we think about our money principles, when we think about being rich, and we think about the challenges of what does it really mean to be a good steward, much of it comes down to being honest and just. You're going to be filling out your taxes. Some of you may already have. Collect no more than you're authorized of your refund, we might say. You're going to be in positions where you're going to have opportunity to get a little more. And you can justify it in your own mind. We might even use the term rationalize it. In fact, the world might even expect you to get a little more in this business deal or in this sale or in this thing because you just can. And what John is saying is, you always do what is right in money matters. You do what's honest. You know, you heard it said of some people, they won't treat you wrong, but they'll do everything they can to make it so that they come out way ahead in the deal. You can't really pinpoint and say, that was an illegal deal, but you know, you feel like you just got taken, even though it was still an honest deal, they might say. John's saying, don't be that kind of person. You be just, and you be honest. You want to be prepared for the coming of the kingdom of God, John is saying, in the rule in your heart, the reign of Jesus in your life, be honest and be just. And then to the third group, the soldiers. The soldiers ask him, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. Be content with your wages. Now soldiers, once again, kind of the lower rung of society, because they were in Jerusalem and in Judea as the captors, and the Jewish people didn't like them at all. And here they are out here, out by John, and they're saying, what should we do? How should we live for God? John says, you know, you soldiers, you're known for extorting people. The way you make your money, because you don't get paid very much, the way you make your money is you take bribes. The way you make your money is you rough someone up, you threaten someone, you threaten the slaves, they were known for doing that, against their masters and things like that, and they get inside information, and then they get money by extorting others. He says, you cut out all that extortion. You cut out, and here's the concept, abusing other people and misusing your power, and be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. You see, if they could be content with what they're being paid, then they would not be involved in illegal practices. Now, when you think about these three things, how much of the problems our nation has seen ethically regarding money would not have been problems if we would have followed John's simple advice to be honest, to be just, to not misuse our power, to put others at a disadvantage. You see, John is saying, you be faithful. I think about a man down in Tennessee I knew who was an older gentleman. And he was in his 80s, maybe probably close to 90s. And he didn't have family to kind of help him look after his finances. And he was taken advantage of by people who basically extorted him. And I believe they shortened his life, his health-wise, because they got so much anxiety and worries over this because of debt he got under. And a lot of it had to do with this concept right here. People weren't doing necessarily something that was illegal. In fact, they were doing something that was legal. But they were taking advantage of someone who was in a feeble position. John is saying, in your money dealings, make sure you always treat others as you want to be treated. And never misuse your power to abuse other people. You see, be content with what you have. What John has said is provide for those who need provision and protect those who need protection. What we would call it is genuine love. Now, I want to go back to 1 Timothy 6 as we wrap all this up. As for the rich, that's all of us. We may not feel it, but all of us need to understand that we can all be challenged by being prideful and haughty and trusting in the uncertainty of riches. We can all put more hope and more faith in our money than in God. And what God is saying is we have to trust Him. We have to open our heart to Him. And God will supply us richly all things, notice this, to enjoy. People that want to hoard money don't enjoy it. People that want to gather it and gather it and are always focused upon what they have or what they don't have don't enjoy it. God wants you to have money to enjoy it. But if you're going to have money, and you do have money, you've got to use it in a godly way. And then he says they are to do good and to be rich. If you are rich, then I say to everybody, be rich in good works. Be rich in good works. To be generous and to share. Ready to share. That's the same thing John said to his listeners, didn't he? Share, do what's right, and don't misuse your power. Be rich. Be rich. The last passage is from 2 Corinthians. Notice what it says there. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And so whether you are someone who has a large bank account or whether you're a teenager who doesn't even make any money, I want you to know you can be rich. It's about an attitude. It's about a heart. It's about a heart that says, God has blessed me with things, abilities, money, talents, time, and I don't want to hoard them, but I want to share them. God has been generous with me. I want to be generous with others. And I want to treat others in a way that respects them more than it focuses upon my gaining money. I value them more than I value money. Notice this last phrase. You'll be enriched, but notice what it will also accomplish. You'll be generous, but when you're generous, it will cause us to produce thanksgiving to God. When you bless other people, they're going to give God the glory. We've been doing our hands and our feet, or we are His hands and His feet, and it's so encouraging to see some of the things that have already been written for the bulletin board and how people are doing this very thing. Some of it involves money, some of it involves deeds or actions. And I know there's many things that have been done that are being done, and cards are being used. And many times they're not being recorded for the bulletin board. But that's what this is about. It's about being rich and having a heart that then allows Jesus to work in your life. You see, if you have this kind of heart, you will be rich. Why? Because Jesus will be in your heart. And when others see you doing good things, and they see you when you could get a penny, let's just say today in today's language, when you could get a dollar, right? A penny doesn't mean anything anymore. When you could get a dollar, you choose not to get a dollar because you have Jesus in your heart. If you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to be restored or rededicated this morning, if you need prayers of the church for strength or prayers for any other area, just come as together we stand and sing.